Welcome to America Unplugged. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn. I'm joined by not the usual suspects. I've actually got some guest hosts on today. Let me pull the get everybody on the screen here. Everybody, welcome to America Unplugged. I have Kinsey is with me. She's my co-host over on the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show. She also hosts a show called Fringe Files on YouTube. And my friend Zan John, who is are you flanked by your alligators today, sir?
Always. Yes, sir. Always.
We'll have to pull that. Let's see if we can adjust the screen. I want to see your alligators there. There we go. Okay. Yeah. We have the alligators in the shot. Zan John is with us today. We're going to go over, you know, major headlines, topics. We'll just let that flow. This is America Unplugged. You know, we're here to unplug from the matrix and go over the news of the day. Kind of like I was thinking, you know, the theme of They Live, and that's our little logo that Billy put together of the They Live newscasters, where the people put the glasses on and they see that they're the aliens. And I'm thinking, we have the same thing. We could do like a sequel to They Live with the hearing aids. Like you could hear the alien transmissions and then we'd be able to decode them for you. So we'll go over some headlines today. I looked at the Drudge Report, of course, and you see that USA is beginning the Ukraine evacuations. If you click on the headline, this is Fox News. I'll pull this up here. Families of U.S. embassy personnel in Ukraine order to begin evacuating as soon as Monday. What do you guys think? I'll throw this to you, Kinsey. What are we looking at?
Oh, why did you have to pass that to me? I make people really mad with this kind of news.
The beauty of Unplugged. We show up in the back office 3 minutes before we go live, and this is a test of your agility. You can do this. You know what's going on.
Oh, people just don't like my answers to this kind of stuff. Should I be probably more concerned with this? Probably so. But I mean, if we want to start, or somebody wants to start a hot war, like, what can I actually do to stop that? So, you know me, Tony. At the end of the day, I just try to stick to, like, my little personal bubble and do the best I can to kind of buffer myself within these bubbles. And, I mean, I can't say much about the Ukraine thing. I feel like the same talking points have been hit since, you know, for some people, since their grandparents were in high school. And I'm like, okay, we've done this plenty of times. And it always gets the fear of the U.S. people like back up and other countries back up. And I'd say that we're closer than ever to going back to having a pretty large war break out. But again, what can I actually do to stop that or help that? The U.S. government is going to do whatever they want to do. And the same with other governments.
Right. You can't do anything to stop it. I would say that what we're here for is to warn people that this could be a reality. It's something I've been talking about for the last month as I've seen these tensions rise. And these are not good signs. This is not a simulation. I don't think this is a test or a drill. Hopefully cooler heads will prevail, because there's, again, foreign policy wise is part of my wheelhouse. There's no strategic interest here. The Ukrainian issue and the border dispute with Russia has nothing to do with the United States insofar as American security. This is a globalist, neocon American empire military industrial complex venture that will, it would deal a death blow to the last little bit of liberty that we have left in this country, and of course create an even more powerful centralized state. I'm going to throw it to you, Zan. What do you think? Families of U.S. embassy personnel in Ukraine ordered to begin evacuating as soon as Monday. Is this hype? Is this not something not to worry about? What are you seeing?
Yeah, we'll say I am no expert on the subject. However, from taking it at face value, we touched on this last episode we were together, which I appreciate you allowing me to come on. What I see, what I feel is this is a big... this is the Pentagon and the out-of-touch media trying to flex, and I'm sure they're just pumping up tons of contractor stock right now. Jen Psaki kept on, you know, talking, dropping, you know, these big contractor names on her press conference the other day. Also, too, Russia, I mean, I'm not a Russophile by any means. I respect certain aspects about Russia, but, you know, they were born out of the Crimea, the whole eastern part, the breadbasket of Ukraine. And so, I mean, if they want to do something with that area, they would have much more of a right to invade than the United States would. I can't stand all these foreign entanglements. There's no good, clear information really going around, so we have to speculate. And I think if something does happen, of course, it wouldn't be good because the out-of-touch left and just decrepit Joe Biden and Jen Psaki, you know, the cover-up agent, the propped-up cover-up agent, you know, they're just... They don't even know what they're messing with. Like the analogy, they're chihuahua that's just, you know, nipping at the heels of a lion with Russia or China, whoever they want to try and flex on. It's just, to me, it's a complete joke. That I hate how they represent us on the world stage, because we are not this dumbed down and we are not this war hungry. You know, we want to fix problems domestically and we want to uplift the whole, you know, before they saddle us with this whole everyone here is a domestic terrorist notion. So we're just the constituency, I would say, could care less about the whole issue. They just hope it goes well, if it even does go. But the out of touch media and the war hungry, power hungry Pentagon, you know, they have their own agendas, and all we can really do is speculate. So,
well, I think that's a good analysis. And the only problem I had with it is your chihuahua reference. Beans is on my lap. She wanted me to tell you that maybe look for another analogy. She's a fierce chihuahua. She's a soldier. She is to be. Woodland creatures have written songs about her as something to fear. And I think that she is fierce. So I wanted to say too, I didn't, when I brought in the show, you know, Billy and Don are not here and they will be back next week. Hopefully both of them had family issues to attend to. And I didn't want to let the feed go dark. You know, I wanted to make sure that we kept it live. And I really appreciate both Kenzie and Zan joining me last minute to make this show happen. And because we have a lot going on in the world. I mean, yesterday I was on with the great David Knight. One of the things we talked about, and this, I'll make this our issue number two, like this is the McLaughlin Group, was the central bank digital currency. Now, I know Kenzie won't have a problem answering this and care what people think when it comes to CBDCs, but this is something, you know, the Russian central bank, I thought was, this was a telling sign that they issued a, not a proclamation, and it isn't a done deal yet, but they want to get rid of cryptocurrency and crypto mining in that country, which was really surprising. The following day, the headlines were that the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States, was looking to issue a central bank digital currency. And of course, that was not unexpected, but those two major blows, and we're going to talk about where Bitcoin is here in the next segment. But what do you think, Kenzie? Looking at this, the central bank digital currency, are we closer today than we were last week?
For sure. Just because we have other countries that are already getting ahead of that. And that gives kind of the US government, that's their excuse, because everybody thinks that they're not ready. They actually started testing their CBDCs during the beginning of this scamdemic. And we had, I mean, we still have repos going on, but, you know, in the beginning of all that, we're like, wow, this is massive. And now it's just grown exponentially. So we've already been testing on the back end of things how this would work. Like, whether people realize that or not, even their small banks have signed up to see how that would work on the back end. And basically, your bank has the right to set you up a wallet that would be fluid and work nicely with CBDC. So that's already been tested and done. And it was probably tested before the bill was even passed that like let that go through. So I feel as though any day that could be coming. And it's whatever kind of tips us over the edge. The Russia thing was a little bit unexpected, but at the same time, I would say that I was not surprised. And as far as the downtrend that we have right now in cryptocurrencies, it's been going on. It seems really strategically planned as far as the back-to-back-to-back bad news. The Russia move does make a little bit of sense. I'm not a huge fan of any like one country or government, but I feel like the beginning of Bitcoin and what that was, Russia could kind of be on board with. And as far as where it's gotten today, because we have so many different hedge funds in it, you're not talking about small little people like the people I was in high school with mining Bitcoin in their bedroom anymore. We're talking about billion-dollar industries for mining Bitcoin at that. So I could kind of understand them not maybe wanting their people or their governments kind of tied into things that could be so easily moved here in the next couple of years. It looks like it's really easily moved now, but we're still talking about some not normal people, but whales out there that can get together in dark rooms and change these markets. And in the next 2 or 3 years, it could be central banks. It could be, you know, governments. It could be giant hedge funds that are really moving these markets. So everything is kind of a strategic play. And as far as when we get a digital dollar, the US people aren't just going to fall for that and be okay for it. We're going to get set up into a situation where they beg for it.
I looked at the comments yesterday, even on the Washington Post, and none of them were favorable to a central bank digital currency issued by the Fed. No. None of them. Like everybody, oh, look, this is the mark of the beast. I mean, every single one of them was like, hey, I can't. And one of the comments was my favorite. It was like, so you're saying I can't use this to wipe with or use for fire kindling? And I like, and it was it, that. That's how I think a lot of people feel. I want to go to the chat too on rockfin.com. This is, of course, this is premium. You can only view the video of America Unplugged if you are a premium member there on rockfin.com. And we really appreciate Rockfin for hosting the show. Junkyard is in the chat. Junkyard Designer, he sent us $5. I really appreciate that. And Nomad Above and Beyond tipped $5. I really, really appreciate. I know the whole team here at America Unplugged appreciate you. Raybo's Ghost is in the chat. As always, Raybo keeps me honest, make sure that I don't stray off topic. If I don't go hard enough, if I don't go off script enough, Raybo is going to remind me and send me a bunch of angry emails. So we'll try to keep it real, okay, ladies and gentlemen. All right, what do you think, Zan? Central bank digital currency. Are you going to run out and get a wallet? Are you ready to give Jerome Powell your keys?
Well, also, too, I know that there was a China was messing with one that would even expire. I mean, the audacity. This is all tied in. This is such a broad subject. I mean, this will be tied to the social credit score, our own QR code. You know, this is to completely block us out of polite society, if you could even call it that anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is going to be the final, you know, and just like Kinsey said, you know, what event is going to, you know, what false flag is going to make all the softened people, the mask wearers, the mRNA, you know, believers, you know, that are all ripe for the plucking, that already, you know, I was in Houston yesterday, beautiful weather. It is kind of cool. You know, I'm out at the walking into the museum over there in Natural History, people with their masks on and everything. And I'm just like, these are mentally ill people. It'll never be normal to me. And so that shows you that we just have a civilization that is just so softened up and ready for whatever lie, you know, whatever control mechanism that we are, you know, going to be ushered into. So this whole central bank digital currency is probably the scariest thing, because it's like, how do you participate in the economy? How can you buy and sell if all paper money is deemed, just like us, suspect of carrying a virus, or even simply using, I don't know, a debit card to stick your chip in or something? I don't know what excuse. I don't know how they're going to false flag us into this. I'm not privy to that. If I did, I'd be, you know, screaming that from the mountaintops and probably get whacked, you know.
You don't have your lizard card. You're not invited to the parties yet.
Yeah. So many words, I think it's bad. And it's going to be what's tied into the social credit score, which is going to allow us to buy, sell, participate in school, in society, schools, have a job. And it's I think the solution to this is everyone trying to stand up now while they can. And also, too, we need to form our own institutions, if you will. That's what's so scary. It's like, you know, it'd be one thing if all the people that believe all this hype went and off and, you know, segregated themselves. Like, they all just moved to California. They all stay in California. They all stay in New York. But it's like society's going to be embedded with these people. And then you're also, too, you're going to have the business owners that are going to cower, you know, that are going to go, I just want to stay in business. This will bring us back to prosperity. Wrong. But you put the plexiglass up everywhere. There'll be a restaurant and this and that. And, you know, we never got more free. So it just, this really, really scares me. That's something I think we can recover from, you know, people having masks and mRNA and all this stuff, you know, a couple of generations that could lose steam, you know, at absolute worst. But if there's a central, like, digital thing, you know, installed, Tony, that's just, I need to look for somewhere to move to flee to.
Yeah, that's the problem. There's a lot of the, most of these countries, these major powers like China and Russia really surprised me, because even at the end of last year, Vladimir Putin was talking about how cryptocurrencies could help, you know, win the war against the hegemonic dominance of the American petrodollar. And Bitcoin, I think, had a boost after he said that. And of course, they've had lots of mining in Russia, especially in like in Siberia, where it's really cold. You know, and they have like a bunch of miners out there that you can just, you don't have to worry about climate control, because there's just, so you have these big buildings with those, you know, the mining units in there, which are really hot. And so they're able to do that. But now I guess not anymore. Well, again, it's not a law and they haven't done it, but that's the Central Bank of Russia. And they're pushing for their own digital currency, kind of modeled on what the Chinese did. And I don't know, this is the battle of, I think, the great battle of our time. You look at El Salvador. They adopted it as legal tender, and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, doesn't want to bank them. So they're being punished for having a solid currency, you know, and this is the issue. You know, we don't need these governments. We don't need their currencies. We have a worldwide gold and silver standard. We have a worldwide Bitcoin standard and many more other stable coins and privacy coins that I support. So we don't need them at all. Like, we're our own bank. And I think history will show that. But that's not what the controllers want. And they know that they have to have us under their thumb in order to implement their dystopic realities. All right. So issue number three, good points all around, by the way. Issue number three, let's look at the lifting of the mandates in Britain. About 3 or 4 days ago, the disheveled moron, Boris Johnson, the British version of Trump is under siege for having his garden parties and not wearing, you know, his mask and not doing social distancing. So the people of Britain are very angry. And I think this is all part of the Johns Hopkins simulation. Unfortunately for Boris Johnson, he didn't read the simulations that he was going to be part of. And I think he's being thrown under the bus. But they're lifting their restrictions. Kenzie, I'm going to throw it to you, because I know that you... you follow the COVIDian cult and what the latest and greatest is on the superstitions. What do you think about Great Britain lifting their mandates?
Oh, we're getting false hope. You're seeing it here in the U.S. too, where everybody's like, "Yay, we're winning!" And like, you get this spurt of like, we did something positive. And I feel like we're just gonna get punished for that later. I mean, not you. Or me, hopefully not people listening to this, because we're not just going to cave in to whatever comes next. But there is kind of this sense of, I feel, false hope there, where maybe for a couple weeks they're going to let you be kind of normal. But I don't know. Bill Gates has probably been in a lab somewhere. We just had a bunch of monkeys going to a lab get loose in some state last night. So I'm like, this is the beginning of a great sci-fi movie. And that's where we are today.
That's very much where we are. I was thinking of, you know, that song by Metallica called No Leaf Clover. He says, mm-hmm. when it comes to be that the soothing light at the end of your tunnel is just a freight train coming your way. And that's what it feels like. I go, when I talk about the narrative falling apart, I don't mean that the dystopia is going away, or that the lockdowns, or they're just going to come up with a new thing that's going to, like, climate or war. These are things you have to be aware of. I mean, you can only, there's such a thing as entropy. You know, that's when things run down, like everything eventually runs out of energy. Their narrative is running out of energy. All they have left is their authoritarianism. They need you to voluntarily surrender. So I think this is where we need to be really careful going into whatever next phase they're going to kick off. And mm-hmm. of course, it's going to be anti-liberty, anti-people.
Well, and can I add to that really quickly?
Sure.
Some of this false hope, and the reason that I say that is because we do have government doing things on your behalf, right? So these narratives are being set up. And the thing that just makes me feel so cringy is when we're relying on any one man or person to save you. I mean, Tony, you know, that's my biggest pet peeve, is don't look to government to help you. Because we end up following these false leaders. And again, you're given this false hope because they take you one direction. And once they get so far, they'll turn on you immediately. It'll flip. And people get so shocked by that. And I don't understand why, because it's happened over and over and over again. You know, you should just be worried about you and your household. If something's not affecting like your immediate household or maybe your workplace. I can't say much about the workplace either, though, because I'm true, like, anarcho-capitalist. If a company wants you to do a certain thing to be able to work for that company, that's on them. Now, it gets kind of in this gray area if that company is getting massive amounts of government dollars, because then those two things are kind of connected. But what can you really expect? I mean, if you want to open up a shop that says, like, nobody in here is allowed to wear a mask, cool. If you want to open one up where everybody says you have to wear a mask, well, then I guess I won't shop there. So at the end of the day, I'm just, you know, make your own decisions, act like an adult, and don't rely on anybody else.
I like it. Zan, what do you think?
Let me give everyone with this analogy. It's a flea circus. So what happens to the fleas, okay, in that mason jar with the lid, right? The lid is the law, all right? So they all Bojo did was get rid of the law, but those fleas learned to jump this high, right? Fleas as in the corporations, mm-hmm. the venues and everything. Do you even need the law to be in place for all these people to still? Okay, the law says you don't have to, but when you walk into this grocery store, when you walk into, I don't know, the British equivalent of Walmart, they're going to be pushing. It doesn't matter. The damage is already done, right? So yes, it's losing steam. So they take it off. Feels like, Kinsey says, false victory. Wonderful analogy. You know what I'm saying? False hope. A wonderful job, Kinsey. And so it doesn't even matter if the law is in place. The corporations have been conditioned, and people are enough people abided by it. So now they're on to the next hoax, which Klaus Schwab, you know, they always have to brag, criminals. It's going to be climate change, supply chain issues, cybersecurity attacks. And I will say that the largest jewelry manufacturer in the United States, and I'm not joking, is here in Lafayette, Louisiana. It's called Stellar Settings. My dad is friends with the owner. I make this point because he said in confidence to my father the other day that they had a huge computer takeover, system hack or whatever. And he had to pay a whole bunch of money just to get like all his AutoCAD and all these things that his engineers use to, like, you know, I don't know how they manufacture and smelt. Forgive me, I'm not an expert in that, but he does deal with precious metals. He might be within your industry, Tony, Stellar Settings, food for thought. Anyway, and they're saying, yeah, you know, my dad, they know nothing of computers. He's like, yeah, you know, Matt, we're drinking wine, you know, some guys out of Iran. I'm like, they're probably balancing a VPN off of that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was probably an inside job. These dudes are probably sitting in a van in the parking lot, like, let's knock old Matt over. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get a couple $100,000 real quick and move away. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just saying, like, this, when that happened, I was like, oh yeah, this is some, like, WEC, you know, soft start on this. You know, they're testing things because they know this whole COVID thing is going to lose steam. I mean, it's a joke, you know, and all these people are going to get mad who realize they've been screwed over, you know, that their mRNA is destroyed. They're going to get crazy cancers and all this stuff. Ivermectin's banned or won't even be produced. So they're going to, what, they're going to get rid of a couple, you know, figureheads. They'll get rid of your, I don't know, your Bojos and whoever. But they're just going to replace them with something else and then have a new hope. I mean, they're just going to keep us distracted. Keep looking the other way. Russia, Russia, Russia. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever funnels you further and further into their control, but makes it feel as though it was your choice. I definitely agree with that.
Being drug along with the herd of sheep. You know what I'm saying? And again, like I like to say, I'm not better than anyone. I've been kicked out of any organization in school, whatever you can think of. I'm not cooler. I'm not smarter. I'm just trying to say enough people are acquiescing to this, which drags the people like you and I. Not that even, let's just say 10% of all of our speculations combined are even remotely correct, right? But we at least stop and think for ourselves and evaluate and try and give some sort of forensic analysis on the fly. Instead of, oh, that's what's going on? Thanks, CNN. I appreciate Brian Stelter. Like, of course, you know, it couldn't be any other way. And what's sad is this, I don't know, 10, 15, 20% of us critical thinkers, whether we're crazy or anything, you know, we're just being drug along by the compliance of others. And that's the problem. If we can get enough people to understand and to just sit and take responsibility for the for what's going on, you know, admit the terror we're under and let's face it head on, you know, then we won't get drug along. But that's the whole problem.
Great analysis so far. I'm glad I put this panel together, although I don't think I've been funny enough. And I think Kenzie's writing her resignation letter to me while we're doing the stream.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
I finally had enough of doing all these podcasts with you.
No.
Good luck in all of your future ventures. Write me back when you're funny again. Let's put up this issue 4. This is Natural News. 1 year ago, media claimed Joe Lincoln Biden would hug and heal the nation. Thursday marks the 1 year. This is, you know, coming up. This is last week's. Thursday marks the 1 year anniversary of Joe Biden's inauguration. And while the Democratic president is deeply unpopular and dealing with several policy failures, journalists had high hopes on January 20th, 2021. They compared the Democrat to Abraham Lincoln, called him our papa in chief, and hailed the return of facts and truth. It's quite the contrast to the actual results of the president who's gotten the poll numbers in the mid 30s. I want to get you your guys' thoughts on Joe Biden and having an approval rating lower than Harry Truman's at the height of the Korean War, which if anybody knows their history, highly unpopular. Harry Truman was there was I mean, the White House was flooded with letters and telegrams of hatred and dissatisfaction when he fired MacArthur. America had never been in a limited war. We didn't know what that was. And so Joe is polling about the same or as right at where George W. Bush was at the end of his presidency. What do you guys think about Joe? How's he doing? I'll throw it to you, Kinsey.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, first of all, I don't think Joe should be allowed to hug anybody. No more hugging and sniffing, but we'll get past that. I would just like to bring this up, and this is where people are like going to hate me again. Tony, the other day we were at the gas pump and some lady just randomly yells out at us. Like, she's like, "You see that? That's Joe Biden's fault." And she's like, pissed, and I get it because gas is getting higher. I can see that we both don't drive very fuel efficient cars because, you know, freaking American. So so we're just like nodding our head like, yeah. And, you know, Tony, that was like the one time where I just didn't even have it in me to go, you know what, all of this started under Trump. And the rest kind of fell through once Biden was in office. And people really don't want to hear that because, again, we just want to have hope that someone was there for you. But you cannot print the amount of money and be happy about it. Trump was thrilled to sign his name with a T on something. He's so excited about it and held it up. And that was the day where I was just like, oh, wow. I'm glad I live off grid on this mountain because things are just going to keep getting worse. And the scariest part is like the Biden administration is going to have to outspend that or the whole thing comes crashing down. We haven't even spent all of the money that was, you know, printed during that time. So I can't blame one political leader or the other. Joe Biden just happens to be a more amusing puppet to watch. Also a very scary puppet to watch than, Trump was. Trump was witty and quick, and that was fun to see because he could really troll the nation, not just one side or the other, but everybody was being trolled. And with Joe Biden, you just wonder when somebody's going to give him his applesauce and a nap. So I don't know. Like, the whole thing is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying, but I can't blame one side or the other. It's planned. It's a planned demolition on all fronts.
Yeah, it's really, once you know how the sausage is made, like once you know about the left-right paradigm and how so much of it is just controlled and serving the puppet masters of the New World Order, you just start to hate politics. Like I grew up interested in politics, how to win elections, you know, and of course the ideas behind like conservatism. And I ran for office too. I still love a lot of the ideas. But as far as politics is concerned, it's just a nasty business. And
all that matters is your local level. Like, if you can just get somebody that you can trust in on your local level, I would say, okay, like those people likely could still have your best interest. There's still lots of deals all the way down to the bottom too. There's lots of handshake deals that happen and promises of great futures, but
I mean, when I see a Let's Go Brandon shirt or something, or I think that's funny. And I think that's fun. But the problem is that behind Let's Go Brandon is a Let's Go Trump. You know, that's what that means. And I don't like that because it's like you put that out there and you say, oh, the government's doing this to us, which is true. Like when you have those little stickers at the gas pump, Joe Biden did that. He did, you know, not unleashing the American spirit and the can do and let's go out and drill and find new sources of energy and get things to market. I mean, that's the fault of the government, but both sides did that to you. So it should say politicians did that, you know, or my government did this. But it becomes a partisan thing, which, you know, I guess we'll have to take what we can get. Zan, I'm going to throw it to you. Joe Biden, is he your president? I'm sure you voted for him at least five times down there in Louisiana. How'd that go?
Yeah, no, it's just so sad to see this rush job. You know, he's the end result of someone just being plucked to be propped up. You know, he was compromised enough. He was the ball of wet clay that they can mold and just put an earpiece in. I mean, the left and any sort of opposition to freedom, you know, they don't even respect Joe Biden. I mean, to even prop him up for his job, you know, it's just sad because he marks, you know, the desecration of the presidential office. He makes the fact that, you know, this is a nation state look bad. So he's just there, you know, he's just a propped up joke. This is the part where I get kind of emotional. I know y'all can keep it pretty lighthearted, but I take it so personal that this sick guy, you know, with so many flaws, I mean, he represents the free world. It's like, get out of here. I mean, it's just such a disgrace. This guy's such a disgrace. So it should be no shock that his poll's that low. And that's probably some great polls, probably even lower than that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, he is the most popular president in history. I mean, he got more votes than anyone. I mean, they're still counting. I mean, they're still coming in. The trucks are still being unloaded with the ballot.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, you know, I looked at that election too. I just threw up my hands. I don't care anymore. Like this, it's you get the lockdowns either way. You get the mandates either way. You know, David Knight had a great point at the beginning of Joe Biden's presidency. He says, you know, if Trump was reelected, we'd have a conflict with China. And since Joe's taking office, we'll have conflict with Russia. And I thought that's pretty apt, you know, because Trump wasn't, it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, he pushed back on China, had the tariffs and things of that nature in the economic realm. We weren't ever supposed to bring that up. So it caused all this tension. If you remember during the election, the Chinese yuan just tanked. And when they realized it all of a sudden at, you know, 11 p.m. or midnight, whenever all these other votes came in and Biden was up, then the Chinese yuan just exploded and went back, you know, up and to the right. And so the Chinese really were bolstered by that. And now we're focusing everything on Russia. So that David Knight's prediction has come to pass. And it's very unfortunate because this is a dangerous road that we're going down in the realm of conflict. And a lot of people that tune into this show, I would take that seriously. I can't stress that enough that there, I don't think that's a drill over there. I think you need to give that some pause and maybe think through like some of your planning, like having a little bit of storable food, having a bug out bag, all that kind of stuff for unrest or anything that could happen in the result of a possible, you know, hot war, which again, I don't welcome. Oh, that's good analysis. I appreciate both of you on that. I think Joe Biden will probably most likely not be on the ballot in 2024. I do think that there's a lot of speculation. The Wall Street Journal put out a piece by some political analysts that Hillary Clinton will be back. I happen to agree with that. They'll probably just have to put her in cryostasis between now and then roll her back out, unfreeze her. And then, of course, that will be the... the end of the road, apocalypse 2024, Trump versus Hillary, who, and like the slogan will be like, just I get that is where I would say stay home and stay safe, don't vote. stay home, stay sane, don't vote, because that would be a bad choice either way. All right, I'm going to move on to some financial. For those of you who are in the realm of cryptocurrency, it's a bloodbath right now for many reasons. A lot of them are market. Some of them are geopolitical. As we mentioned earlier in the show, you have the central bank digital currencies. This is a headline on revolver.news. Bitcoin falls 50% from its all-time high to 34,000. This is a CoinDesk. I'll pull up the article. We'll put it up on the screen. I want to get your guys' comments on this, which I think is a temporary setback, but what, you know, define temporary. So I'll go to you, Kenzie. What do you think? Bitcoin at 34,000.
I'm not excited enough to buy back yet. I'm not, and I'm not fearful of it either. I think I've kind of been mean on Twitter and maybe within my own household, just kind of making fun of the markets going down, but I'm not too concerned about it. I was actually really surprised to see, though, that I hold some things that were way in the green last night. So it could be, we could be coming up on alt season. Some of that pressure was released last night, throughout the night, but still, this is why it's important to be diversified. And I'm not a huge Bitcoin holder anyway. So yeah, I'm just not concerned with it. I mean,
I've hit your goal yet of right. You have it at what was it? 25,000. You had your deal set, your automatic.
If it goes to 30, I'll probably pick up an automatic buy there. But yeah, I'd be more excited about like 25 to 15K Bitcoin and then I'll get out of bed. Like, so, I'm not concerned.
So in your mind, looking at this, Bitcoin's dropping. I'm still in the market to buy. Where do you think this goes? I mean, are we still in a, I've defined it as a twilight struggle because this is Bitcoin represents, and it's not the end all be all, but it represents the people taking their banking and their financial sovereignty into their own hands. Where do you think this leads? Does Bitcoin still have a fighting chance in the new world order?
I think, well, as far as the new world order goes or whatever, if people are smart, yeah, you don't have to use the specific platforms that they would like you to be on to trade this stuff. And having hard wallets is also really important. If all of this comes down the way that we think it could, and like Zan was saying earlier, as far as every little bit of your life being controlled and managed and all this kind of stuff, like if you've got coins that are on these exchanges, you are unsafe. You're not doing cryptocurrency properly. Your hard wallet will be pretty important because there are places out there where this can be moved around without needing to have your banks or some government approved exchange. KYC compliance stuff is typically what I'm talking about, the know your customer. If you're having to share your ID and a ton of your info, you're not in the best place, but that's the easiest place to buy it, right? So just tread the water lightly. And I think that this could be the last really big bull run, honestly, for Bitcoin. Like if it has the opportunity to come back up, Tony, I think that it's almost just done because it is a novelty coin. It was the first one that was there. I could go both sides on whether it's a store of value or not. I wouldn't necessarily call it that. I think that it's a vehicle to get to where, you know, your goal might be in something else, whether it be land or some property, gold, silver, other investments that you want to make. I think that it's fantastic cryptocurrency all around to get there. But after this next cycle, like people understand that it's smarter to put $50 in a lower cap coin than it is to put it into Bitcoin. Yeah.
Predictions for 2022? I'll put you on the spot.
There are some really good projects coming up, and I think that people just need to look past the top 10, top 20, see what's out there. Some of this stuff is heavily backed by the industry, but that's also telling me that I've got some time. Maybe regulation won't be as hard as everyone, you know, thought it would be. Some people are waiting for regulation, and I think that's kind of silly. I don't care. Once we're overly regulated, cryptocurrency is boring and I'll be looking for something else. But no, we're going to see some things really start to take off. And it's just, you know, this next 5 to 10 years, I think will be really telling if I even get to go for that long. Maybe they'll come and get me by then. The men in helicopters or men in suits.
Can't find you. You're miles below the Earth's surface. And you've got your refurbished nuclear silo. I think you've done a pretty good job at masking your signal and hiding from the sentinels. You're gonna be fine, kids. Zan, I know you told me off air that you actually are Satoshi Nakamoto, so I would know more than anybody about Bitcoin. What's going on with Bitcoin? Where do you see us going? And do you think this is the beginning of a crypto winter? Do you have still have high hopes, or do you even own any Bitcoin? I've never asked you.
No, I don't. I can only speak about this in a broad sense. I really think that if this stuff, as in this stuff, the CBDC, if Bitcoin can't carry its weight into the future, which it's going to have to fight for its relevance, meaning it's the people who invest in it. You know, it's going to be a battle, because I do see everything going completely digital. And, you know, is it going to be with sovereignty or without? And I just, Bitcoin is very volatile. You know, all these coins, they're very volatile. Me personally, I've seen people make a lot of money with it, ride waves. But at the end of the day, I mean, you just have something that needs electricity to be on to trade. And it doesn't make me feel that reassured. What you're doing, I think, is absolutely wonderful, because no matter what, I mean, gold and silver. So, I mean, obvious reasons. Bitcoin, what I see it doing, I don't know enough to tell anyone. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for that lack of education. I just see that one of them is going to reign true. And if I had to guess, my gut says it's going to be Bitcoin, or it's going to be crushed by some sort of coin that, you know, the herd ushered us into and you know, legitimized with big government. And so I don't know. It's going to be like an all or nothing kind of deal.
So you're a gold or silver guy?
110%, you know. I mean, for obvious reasons, though. I mean, it's practicality. You know, it's hard to break it up in small denominations unless you have little bullion coins, or you might have to smelt your own stuff. That part about it is impractical. It's heavy. You would have to lug it around or hide it, you know, literally have a treasure map. But I mean, outside of that, I mean, anyone would love to trade for that. I mean, gold, humans are wired to like gold and precious metals, and they're practical, you know?
And I know you also deal in alligator skins, which I'll have to come down. I need some new boots and belts. Sure. Maybe Kenzie a purse. Maybe a satchel. I don't know if she even carries a purse.
I'm a small backpack kind of person.
Rifle in there.
Small gator backpack. Yeah. We'll come on down and warm up here in Louisiana. We have all the spicy food and horrible roads to crack your axle on your way down.
There's no way it's as bad as my driveway, so we'll be good.
Okay. All right. I don't know what state you live in or anything, but.
All right. Final issue of the day. I want to get your guys' take on this particular item. National File, New York Times reporter, latest Trump investigation will make him run for president in 2024. A New York Times reporter believes that the latest New York investigation into the 45th president and his immediate family has sealed the deal on the former president's third run for the White House. I happen to agree that all the legal matters, all the pressing investigations, maybe that was what they were for, because if they thought that they were going to keep Trump out of the race by suing him or putting him under investigations or indictments, I think that is a backfiring move. And this is what was intended all along. I want to go to Kinsey. I want to see what you think about Trump 2024. Do you think the deal is sealed like this New York Times reporter?
I would just pass it over to Zan.
I think he is going to run, but it's going to be interesting to see what kind of landmines he might put out there. Again, I mean, he already pushed for the booster and all that stuff, and he was, you know, touring with Bill O'Reilly. So, I mean, I do see him running. And, you know, out of pride. But I mean, Trump's, you know, just going out with a weak cough, I think, in his last year of presidency and pushing these mRNA vaccines, amongst a couple other things that I didn't get. I will always advocate for the fact that he was a maverick. He did blow away Hillary Clinton. You know, the Democrats did not cheat enough because they don't know how to calibrate with all their fake numbers and with all this fake news everywhere. Trump did shatter all that and then at least set back this new world order advancement 3 years. But I do see him running. I mean, there is a possibility. I would say there's a possibility. And let me retract that. I mean, they're just going to cheat on an exponential. Don't think that the people that are in control illegitimately are just going to give it up. And I mean, you saw how hard they fought and just all the shenanigans in 2020. I mean, Trump theoretically could win again because he would be the lesser of two evils. But how are we going to get the satisfaction again? So I'm sure he'll run for record. I mean, he's like me. I mean, I'm running for record. I mean, I hate saying this. I never expect to win only because I don't see people investing in truth. I don't see people saying, you know, Zan might be flashy or be flamboyant, but, you know, he will tell it like it is and admit when he's wrong. You know, I don't see a generation, or I don't see people that have the cash minutia that can admit they're wrong or has the level of intellectual humility. I always make that point when we're together. So I'll spare everyone that rant. But, I mean, we're just going to have to see what happens. I mean, things are so dynamic. I mean, I just don't know enough. Like I said, I'm just speculating. I'm shooting from the hip. Could Trump possibly? Yes. Will he be the lesser of two evils? I'm sure. You know, is he perfect? Hell no. And he's done a lot of things that I really need answers for. And I just cannot arrive at practical conclusions based on, you know, my 32 years of living. But they, you know, they're itching to prop Hillary up. They want, oh God, she will solidify evil, and there will be no coming out of that. There won't even be a recognizable United States after that. It'll we'll just be a big FEMA region. We'll just be a big, I don't know, section whatever of the UN. I don't know, under her. You know, it's going to be scary. But
it's hard to imagine things worse, but they can get there, ladies and gents. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, we're speculating on Trump's run in 2024, but I know that age 25 is the beginning of when you can run for the U.S. Congress. Kinsey, U.S. Congress is calling your name. We got to get you up there with AOC.
I was just going to say, I think I only get there if AOC like brings me. I think that's what's coming.
Your run for
AOC.
AOC's calling
AOC.
You?
No, oh, not for me.
Are you going to be on the ticket?
I hope not. I don't want to be responsible for anything that goes down with that. So the clout would be cool, but nah, I don't want to get on that train. But I think that the country would actually really like that. I think that that's the future. Somewhere in the near future, maybe not this next election, but I think AOC will end up being president. I'm not kidding.
For a unity ticket, we should have the worst people from both ends. We should have AOC and Dan Crenshaw on the same ticket. And we just call it We Give Up 2024.
We give up.
And then just let the worst of the manufactured casting call people who show up and read the scripts or whatever they are through these you know, dead end partisan puppets. That's what I'm thinking. I'm so over the left right paradigm. We're gonna close out the show. I'll give Zan, you go first. You tell people where they can find you and your work and your interviews and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Tony, thank you so much. And Kinsey, it was so nice to co-host with you today. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet someone new, Tony. Yeah, you can find me on YouTube and Rumble at Zan John. And if anyone's listening in the state of Louisiana or is eligible to vote in the state of Louisiana, I'll be on the ballot this year running against the incumbent John Kennedy, who actually isn't that bad. I'm just running for record. I'm excited for 2023, the governor's race, because the governor can really ward off the federal government, as we see to an extent in Texas and Florida. But thank you so much again.
Oh, great having you. Always appreciate your insight. Thanks for coming on last minute. And of course, you could be the next Huey Long there in Louisiana. So if I was there, I'd vote for you, my friend. Kinsey, you're the co-host of the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show. You host a show called French Files, but I want you to tell people where they can find you.
All right. So YouTube, if you still search French Files, I'll come up. But I did. Trying to be more professional, Tony. It's Fringe News now.
I
literally just decided to like change that overnight. So Fringe News, I think you can still find it by searching Fringe Files. I should still come up. It'll take a while for the algorithms to really kick in, but YouTube, Odyssey, DLive, Twitter, I tweet out opinions.
I got an idea for a website for you. We'll talk off air, but we got to get you on Rockfin. You got to get a podcast. Both of you, but you need to start podcasts together. And we'll promote them here on the show. Okay. Well, we're going to get out of here, folks. I appreciate everybody who joined us in the chat. The contributions, all that goes back into the show. We're working on some new guests, theme music, graphics, all that good stuff. And again, everybody who tunes in, downloads the podcast, it means so much to me and all of our co-hosts and guests. And of course, Billy Ray and the legendary Don Jeffries, they'll be back next week, I hope, right? Billy always says, don't burn the place down while I'm away. Well, I have to update that. You can, in fact, burn it down because we had it fully insured. So either way, have at it. Have a great weekend. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week.